If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
Paul teaches that I'm saved not by the works or the law. Paul takes a bold step to pull down the religious system's control. I don't have to keep these feasts anymore in order to be saved. I can keep them now as just a memory of what God did for me. But my salvation is not tied to the Feast of Pentecost. It's not tied to Rosh Hashanah. It's not tied to Yom Kippur. It's not tied to those things. It just reminds me that God did great things whereof we are glad. And Paul says, but you need to understand, Ephesians, that this salvation is by grace through faith. He has this uncanny ability to open up theological cans that shake everybody. The entire concept of the Old Testament was pointed to two things after they crossed over into the land. Number one, the establishment of the land that God gave to Abraham and the people that God called Jews, to bring them into their land with a covenant, to provide for them with a covenant, to prepare them for the perpetual kingdom by covenant, and to ensure that they would never be defeated by covenant. Amen. The second infallible teaching of the Old Testament is the establishment of and the sustaining of the deity of Christ and his kingdom. Amen. Carefully hidden through every book of the Bible is Jesus. It's like, where's Waldo? Go through the Bible and say, where's Jesus? Carefully hidden is Jesus. Carefully hidden is Jesus. And it seems that as we get closer to Malachi, Jesus is carefully seen a little more clearer. He's hidden in Genesis. In a very simplistic term, Adam, what did you do? The woman you gave me. Woman, what did you do? The serpent beguiled me. Serpent, you're going to crawl from now on, and you won't talk anymore. And the man, he's going to crush your head, but you're going to bruise his heel. Right there is the embryonic view of Jesus. The man who will crush the serpent's head, but will have his heel bruised. Jesus has started way back in Genesis. By the time we reach Isaiah, he's got clothes on. He is performing the duty of Savior. It appears something is wrong. God doesn't always keep secrets. He reveals stuff. But the question is, can we see the revelation? Nobody was looking for Jesus to come the way he came, even though Micah said he would come from Bethlehem. No one thought that the Savior would come through a poverty-stricken area. They thought that Jesus would come and establish kingdom that would defeat the Romans, but he was not looking to establish a kingdom to defeat the Romans. Listen carefully. He was looking to establish a kingdom in us that would defeat the Romans in us. It is not the devils outside you that kills you. It's the one inside that's giving you the suggestion. Let me leave that alone. You see, we're looking for the Lord to do an external battle, but the battle is not external. The battle is internal. It is with our feeling of insignificance. It is someone telling us for years that we're nothing but ugly and fat. It is someone telling us that we will never get anywhere. And here Jesus is. He never kills the person outside that tells you, but he gives you something else to believe. so that you can look at that person and say, I don't believe what you're saying anymore, because God made me beautiful and God's made me successful and he's made me loving as well as lovable. And just because you don't love me, it doesn't mean I'm not lovable. It just means your standards are too low. But if you come up to where I am, then you will see the gift that I am. And since Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to reveal things to come, we tend to use phrases because of our doubt. We really don't believe that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. So we come up with phrases like, I should have followed my first mind, or something told me, or my gut reaction. Oh, no, baby. It's the Holy Spirit telling you things to come. He will tell you when not to take that flight. He will tell you when not to go in that car. He will tell you, don't go to that store, go to that store. And you don't listen and go to that store and get jacked. But if you listen to the Lord will guide your step, because the Spirit knows who's waiting around the corner. He knows. He'll tell you, lock that window. And you say, I never locked that window. He'll say, lock that window. You lock the window, but later on when you come home, you'll see somebody tried to jimmy it, but because you had it locked, they couldn't get in. He said the Holy Spirit will show you the future. When you get connected with somebody of the opposite sex, when you get connected with somebody, ask the Lord, should I be with them? And then while you're asleep at night, he'll come to you and shake you. Because see, when you get to that rapid eye movement sleep, that theta wave sleep, when you are completely out of it and your unconscious comes to the surface, that's when God can talk to you, because it doesn't have the conscious fight. You're like really out of it. This is when you know you're really out of it. That's the time when you slobber, your mouth opens, and you look real ugly. See, most of us, we don't sleep. Like, even when you fall asleep in church, you don't fall into that theta wave sleep. You're in an alpha sleep. You're still aware of your surroundings. And when you feel your mouth drop open, you sit up and go, Because you're not totally out of it. When you're totally out of it, you're like, and somebody's got to come wake you up. Well, it's during that time that your unconscious mind rises to the surface. That's when dreams come, visions come. God can talk to you because he doesn't have the pressure of the outside. So Paul now, he has their attention with justification by faith. He has everybody's attention because it's a new doctrine. It's something that no one has ever challenged, so therefore he can spread it. So when he's down at Mars Hill, and the Bible said he's down there in the marketplace, they use the word Areopolis, but when he's down at the marketplace, it's like being in Center City, he walks up and he says he hears people debating about an unknown God. Well, that stirs up the philosopher in Paul. This man is religiously trained. This man is a seminary man. He has studied at the feet of the most prominent Jewish scholar of his day, the Rabbi Gamaliel. And so he comes down and he says, I see that you have all of these things, and you have this image, and under the image you have to the unknown God. He said, I declare him to you. Please hear me. Please hear me. He comes to these people and he says, you are making a declaration to an unknown God. He does not call him an idol. He does not confuse the issue by trying to push religion. He says, I simply want to clarify your search. You're going in the right direction, but I'm declaring him to you. And he preached Jesus. The only way to get to God is Jesus. Paul says, you're trying to get to God, but you're trying to bypass Jesus. You're trying to be a Muslim. That don't get you to God. That just gets you to hell. You're trying to be a Catholic. That don't get you to God. That just gets you to Rome every now and then. You're trying to be a Baptist. All that does is get you wet. You're trying to be a Methodist. All that does is gives you a nice book. You're trying to be a Pentecostal. All that means is that you can lay hands on people and talk in tongues. But when you come to Jesus, Jesus removes all of that other mishigash. He takes all that other nonsense away, and he says, all God wants is you.
All he wants is you. Doesn't that surprise you? You've been working hard at this thing. You've been reading 20 chapters a day, praying for 14 hours, but there's no joy because you're a Pharisee. God is saying, no, I want you to enjoy me. I want you to walk with me and love me and let me love you. I want you to let me love you. I want you to let me put my arm around you. Let me fix your weaknesses. Let me bring you through the difficult times of your life. Let me show you that being my child is not overbearing, but it's fun.
Paul tries to get this through to the people. He goes on his journey. And his first journey, he's walking around with his homeboy, Barnabas. And Barnabas is an outgoing person, very jovial. He makes friends easy. And Paul is more like me, the introvert, the consummate introvert who does not really enjoy being around crowds of people and liking them. In a couple of weeks, I've been, I'll use the word honored because I don't want to offend you green shirt wearers, green, black, and silver. I don't want to offend you, but I have been invited to a special dinner where the keynote speaker is the head coach of the Eagles. I didn't think it was a big deal. Now, had it been Larry Bird or Bill Russell, hey, the kid would have easily went to a Boston Celtic. But I don't know what I'm going to talk about with all them people there. And so I reached out for my Barnabas, Bishop Harley. And I said, I'm going to sit there and just eat. You talk to everybody. Because he talks to people. He likes people. I like people, too. I like people, too. So I told my buddy yesterday, who's an ardent Eagle fan, and I was telling him about the affair, and he said, oh, that's so great. And I said, Frank, I don't know what to say. I can hold a conversation with Almighty God, but I don't know what to say in a room full of Eagle fans. So I thought I'd wear a New England Patriots jersey. And if he really is a Christian, he shouldn't say anything negative. Ahab said to Elijah, are you he that troubles Israel? He said, no, not me. You and that Baal-worshipping woman, you troubled Israel, and I'm a troublemaker. And Paul was a troublemaker. So God gave him Barnabas to help break the ice. They travel around and he teaches this doctrine of justification by faith. And Barnabas said, sounds good to me, but we need to get it checked. So they go back to Jerusalem and Barnabas introduces him to the hoi polloi of the church. James and the rest of the elders, they listen to Paul, they give him audience, and the Bible says, this is the thing that really captivates me, all you Book of Acts people. James said, we like what we hear. It sounds good, Paul. He says, go on and do it. But we gotta have a little bit of Jewish control.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585, and when ordering, request ID number
5418P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60 Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.